Mr. Meehan?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name's Liam Meehan. I serve in a capacity, or my law firm does, as a alternate public defender in Sarpy County, and that's how this case came to my office and came before you. As a brief roadmap, I will provide the court what I believe the standard of review is, the relevant facts in this case and argument, and then also the policy implications or the remedy that Mr. Wald is seeking in this case. I mean, in regards to the standard, this case, when it was sent to the Court of Appeals, was eventually categorized as an excessive sentence brief. That is actually not what was briefed. This was briefed as a void sentence. We're not arguing that there's an abuse of discretion. The void sentence under Bartholomew indicates that this court can identify plain error. That's the review we're asking for. I am not arguing that the court abused their discretion or should have given a more lenient sentence or you know, any of the other terms. We're arguing that the term that the court ordered for Mr. Wall is in fact outside of the statutory authority. It violates 28-105. The question before the court today is whether a defendant who's sentenced to a class 4 felony under the new regime under 28-105 can ever be sentenced in excess of 24 months, regardless if they're on post-supervision release or otherwise. So our argument is that...
Isn't it, to be a little bit more precise, can never serve more than 24 months?
Yes, the statute says, I believe, imprisonment. That's the term, or incarceration of 24 months. Yes,
can never serve. Plus post-release supervision of up to whatever the maximum.
And a fine or both. Yeah, that's how the statute would say.
So, counsel, is it your... I'm sorry, did I interrupt, Judge?
No.
Did that answer your
question? Is it your position that if a defendant is given, in the split sentence scheme, on the felony conviction, is given the maximum imprisonment permitted by the law, 24 months, and then the maximum post-release supervision, that if that defendant violates the post-release supervision, the trial judge has no time, no additional jail time that he or she can impose for the violation of that post-release supervision?
That would be my argument, yes.
Well, why do you think that's what the legislature intended? What's your best argument?
Well, it somewhat comes from an inverse of two. So let's look at a situation where you're creating, I think if you were to interpret it that way, we're looking at two classes of citizens. We're looking at citizens that potentially are given probation. That sentence is, that person is given a sentence of probation, does not, and there's a presumption of probation. So they get the presumption of probation. If that person violates, the maximum they can get incarceration time is 24 months.
That's because they are resentenced on the original crime.
Correct. They can only get 24 months. But someone that we sentence to jail up front has to then serve jail term and installment and can serve more than the 24 months. I don't think that jives with what the statute in 28-105 says.
Are you conflating the two portions of the split sentence? In other words, you're conflating the post-release supervision portion of the split sentence with the imprisonment?
I think, and this may be a distinction without a difference, but it's a split sentence. It's not a separate sentence. It's one sentence. So one sentence is 24 months max. You don't get to come in and have an installment and have 24 months and then post-supervision release violation, in this case, 11 months and 2 weeks. So right, I think there's a difference between those two.
Isn't
things.
This scheme, though, is not an either-or. You either get imprisonment or you get post-release supervision, which is, as the statute makes clear, and we have, it's a form of probation. This sentence or this scheme contemplates both, which is something that we've not had in our statutory law before this time. You are sentenced to imprisonment and you're sentenced to probation. And isn't that a new and different animal than what we've had in the past?
I completely agree. You've only had, and I've been on one of them, I think you've had four that have came up on this issue, on post-supervision release. I think that's exactly the problem with the statute. Judges used to have a choice of, and I'll borrow borrow someone from my jurisdiction, Judge Acera, I'm going to give you probation, and if you come back here, you're going out the back door, and you're doing all 24 months. So you had a, or all 5 years, you had a choice. You would either give probation, and if you violated probation, you would be incarcerated.
What I heard you before making was some sort of equal protection argument, but there's no assignment of unconstitutionality. And in this case, the statute is presumed to be constitutional.
Right.
And so we're talking purely about statutory interpretation, right?
Right. I think the other problem is, and this court's said this and the statutes say this, the term probationer and post-release supervision person are to be used interchangeably. So that kind of gets back to your question. If you're saying, how do you, you're going to treat the probationer in subsection 1 of 2868.1 differently than the person under 2868.2.
Because upon revocation, the statutory scheme requires that they be treated differently.
But we use the terms interchangeably. They're both probationers.
Unless the context otherwise requires, right?
Well.
And does the context otherwise require here?
I don't think the context does. I mean, I think if a probationer can only, a traditional probationer at a maximum level can only do 24 months, I don't know why someone on post-supervision release can do more than 24 months. That doesn't seem to make any sense. So the other thing, you've offered a factual question with somebody on the max end. I think you could also read that statute. Let's say, for example, a judge gives someone a 6 months jail sentence. They could then be subject to 12 months under the say they violate post-supervision release immediately. The whole purpose in reading the legislative history was to reduce jail sentences, not to send people back, and send them back for long times. That's many of Mr. Chambers' comments and his colloquy with Mr. Klein when he testified were about that, about lessening the time that we send people to the correctional center. So that's the purpose and underlying view of what I see this statute to be. Additionally, I would highlight to the court that Supreme Court opinion, specifically State v. Raggi, says that a probation violation is not a new crime, which once again goes back to this. We have one sentence that someone is to serve. I believe that max sentence is 24 months, and a probation violation, or as we use those terms interchangeably, a post-supervision release violation is not a new crime. It's not something that subjects them to additional time.
Your client was not shy about admitting that he didn't want to participate in post-release supervision. Would you agree with me on that? This was one of those folks who simply wasn't interested.
Yes.
What is a trial judge supposed to do with someone like that?
I think one of the mitigating things for Mr. Wall is his young age. I don't think he understands the or appreciates the significance of his actions. I think that's true with the underlying action. As to what a court could do, I believe in the Dill opinion, you talk about all the additional things that a district court could do. And in fact, I think that the district court's rules and changes are expanding all the time, because the probation rules can change and then they can add new things that they can do to people. So they could extend the supervision period. They could. I think what Mr. Wall probably needed was for supervision to be intensified.
Doesn't show up, how do you intensify supervision?
Well,
he wasn't cooperating with any of it.
There are ways to intensify. I mean, they had him on a GPS monitor, and the GPS monitor died.
Recharge it.
Right. They had 4 months to incarcerate him under my interpretation, so it isn't a situation where he couldn't be incarcerated. They could have reapplied to GPS. There was some questions of he had obtained a chemical dependency evaluation but wasn't going forward with stuff. I think he's the specific type of person that we need to give every opportunity, whether he wants it or not. That's part of his sentence, to do post-supervision release. We need to do everything we can to make sure that he can reintegrate properly and well into society, and not, you know, there were two visits from the probation officer at his home. You know, the absconsion issue isn't settled. It's stipulated to in here, but I don't know if there's any evidence necessarily. He wasn't home when probation went there. There isn't proof that he ever absconded or left Douglas County.
This is all a very interesting discussion about sentencing philosophy, but that's outside the scope of the assignment of error. Your assignment of error is this is simply an illegal sentence because the imprisonment goes beyond the maximum.
Yes, and because I believe that the intention of the legislature was to lower those sentences, not to increase them. So that's how I got to that portion.
Okay.
That's how you read the statute.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
The legislature actually shortened the possibility of those sentences to begin with from 5 years down to 2 years, correct?
Correct.
And then they added 1 to 2 years of post-release supervision on top of that, correct?
Well, I still think the 24 months control.
I understand. They added 1 to 2 years of post-release supervision when they shortened the sentences from 5 years to 2 years, correct?
Correct, but people are not sentenced to a 36-month sentence with 12 months of post-supervision release. I think that would be the, if that was truly the intention, the term would be 36 months, 12 months of which can be supervised release. We're in fact sentencing people to 24 months max incarceration. So if that's the maximum, I think we need to give the legislature their plain ordinary reading. It says 24 months. It doesn't say...
Composed of different pieces and parts.
Well, I think there's a lot of... You have to jump through three statutory schemes to get to the portion of post-supervision release, which is referenced when you jump and follow the breadcrumbs under 28105 Section 5. So, anything else?
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. This is a statutory interpretation case. He argues the sentence is void because it doesn't comply with the statutes. That's wrong. Statutes allow what happened here, so there was no error. We ask this court to affirm the judgment below. Basically, the maximum sentence imposed for a class 4 is 2 years imprisonment plus 12 months post-release, actually maybe 2 years, but he was imposed 12 months post-release supervision. Along with that comes all the requirements and conditions of post-release supervision.
But the statutory maximum would be 2 years imprisonment plus up to 2 years.
Yes, that's what
post-release supervision.
Right. So he's sentenced to 20 months imprisonment plus 12 months post-release supervision.
Which is potentially, under the state's reading, up to 4 years imprisonment.
Well, it would be 20 months plus conceivably the 12 months if you violate.
Well, I realize in this instance it's we're talking about statutory maximums, not what was imposed in this case.
But right. Potentially then 4 years of imprisonment,
right,
if you violate the conditions. And that's in 28105, basically subsection 5, as he referenced there, says that your post-release supervision is subject to sanctions under the relevant section, 2262.02. And that subsection 5 then says, you know, if a county attorney receives notice of a violation, they can move to revoke, consistent with the revocation sections, which are 2267 and 2268. And subsection 2 of 2268 says if there's a violation, the court may revoke and, quote, impose on the offender a term of imprisonment up to the remaining period of post-release supervision. In this case, there was at least 351 days remaining. Parties, in fact, stipulated to that. And so the re-imprisonment of 8 months obviously fell within that and was statutorily authorized.
And just to be clear, how do you define imprisonment?
Well, in the sections, it says either in the Department of Corrections or in the county jail, consistent with 28105. So it would just be incarceration in one of those two
imprisonment
facilities.
Imprisonment is incarceration.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
In your view. Okay, thank you.
And so everything that happened here, I think, was consistent with the statutory scheme. That being the case, his arguments that the sentence was void or without merit.
Yesterday we heard oral argument in State v. Phillips. That was also a post-release supervision revocation case. And one of the things that was being discussed was the appropriateness of jail credit upon revocation. Yesterday it was the state's position that it was appropriate and correct not to award jail credit. In this case, we had an award of jail credit, 23 days, and I'd like to know the state's position with respect to the jail credit issue in this case.
Yeah, so I did talk with my colleague after yesterday's argument, and we sort of went back and forth on what was required. My as I see it, I guess the 47503, I think, could conceivably still apply in this situation based on the language. Because the, I don't know that I want to say resentencing, but the imprisonment for violation of post-release supervision, as I understand it, essentially relates back to the original conviction. I think that could fall in under the pending sentence language, or at least under the subsection 1, it says credit shall include but not be limited to time spent in jail under these. So even if it didn't fit within one of these specific categories, it seems to me that credit for time served could be given under 47503. So I guess that would be my answer to your question.
Thank you.
Is there any set of facts where a defendant doesn't get credit for jail time?
I don't think so, no. If you are in jail, I think you get credit for it. Conceivably, you could have, as Justice Castle, I think, talked about yesterday, maybe you serve more time than you're ultimately sentenced to and you're in the negative, but I don't know if there's any remedy for that. It's just credit for time served and you're out. But other than that, I can't think of a situation where you would not get credit for the time you spent incarcerated.
So in a situation such as this, if someone violates immediately and they get immediately incarcerated because of it, that 12 months of post-release supervision is going to turn into 6 months, roughly
speaking. Yeah, I mean, assuming good time and everything, yes, I think so.
So if incarceration occurs, it's no longer 12 months of post-release supervision is considered the number. Now it's whatever the good time reduces it to.
I would think so. I might have to look into that a little bit closer, but it would seem to me just to be the same as any ordinary sentence, jail sentence.
Is that what the statute says?
It just says, I think, remaining, sentence them to a term of imprisonment up to the remaining period of post-release supervision. My thinking would be the imprisonment would follow the other statutes talking about good time credit.
Does good time credit apply in probation? Jail sentence associated with probation?
If you violate probation, you're just resentencing up, for the original conviction.
But if you're doing a 90-day waiverable jail sentence, probation, good time apply to that?
Not sure on that. You're talking about like a custodial sanction, something. Yeah.
It used to be waiverable sentence.
I'd have to look at the good time laws. I did not do that today. Sorry.
And good time, to be clear, isn't relevant in this particular case.
No.
We're talking jail credit.
Credit for time served.
There are cases where we worry about both.
Yes.
But this isn't one of them.
Correct. Is there further questions? We ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of